1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Line 51551 is our text number, and as you know, County Kildare has supplied many of our great soldiers to the Irish Army, Ogling na Héireann. But Monica Victory is on the line. Monica, your daughter Shannon, applied, trained, has been devoted to this cause of getting into the Irish Army for years, but now she's discovered she won't even get an interview. Why not?
Well, Joe, they're saying that her height is against her. Mm-hmm. They're saying that she's too short, basically. Now, my father, which is her maternal grandfather, was in the Army all his life. My brother was in Baldonnell, the Air Corps. And my other brother was in the Navy. Now...
And what height is Shannon?
Shannon is exactly 151 centimetres.
And what's that in real
life? I'm not sure. It's probably just 5 foot. It's probably slightly under it, Joe. But in filling, like, she filled out the application form, put in the height as 151 centimetres, sent it off, and they called her for a fitness test. I would have imagined, I'm sure the form should have been vetted for something like that, if it was the case. But I don't believe there should be a height restriction. There's none in the Guards. So why is there a height restriction in the Army?
I'll tell you now why they tell us. They say because she wouldn't be able to carry all the gear. That's basically what they're saying. But she went, she was called for the fitness test, and this is her devotion. She trained for the fitness test. So I suspect she had no problems with the press-ups and the sit-ups and all that stuff. You have to do the running and all that carry on. Okay,
yeah.
You have to run over 2 kilometres. But then they said, we have to measure your height.
Yeah.
Okay. And then DEFCON 3, everyone ran over. What happened when she was measured?
When she was measured, apparently, now I wasn't in there with her, but they all converged on her and brought her into a different room. Mm-hmm. And then they handed her a letter saying that she didn't meet the height restriction or didn't meet the height requirement.
And she said?
She didn't say anything. I think she was shocked, Joe. She was actually shocked because she had herself all psyched up for it, you know. And then for that, they had her in the barracks for nigh on 2 hours, you know. And then to turn around and tell her she was too short for it.
But
the fact that she had her height on the original application, why did they call her if they thought she was too...
And she did write down 147 centimetres.
She wrote down 151, which is what her height... I measured her again here.
It's 151. The Army say we want her to be 157.48 minimum. So she's 6.5 centimetres. Is she still growing?
Well, she's 18, so...
Yeah, she's still growing.
But I don't understand why there's a height restriction. There's none in the Guards. Why is there height restriction in the Army?
I tell you, this is the reason they've given us. It's a pity, remember. Anyway,
there was nothing on the website about a height restriction.
They say the minimum height of 157.48, which is about 5'2", was introduced in 2006. And this is based on the ability of an individual to safely carry the personal load carrying equipment, PLCE for short, and individual protection equipment. I presume that's the armour and on IPE, body armour, etc.
that is required of the modern soldier. Yeah, she had a lot to bring to the Army. I mean, she's a fluent Irish speaker. That's a requirement. They require soldiers to speak Irish. But, I mean, she is a fluent Irish speaker as well.
Yeah, but surely the Defence Force would argue, hang on, you're joining the Army. You're not joining a translation service.
No, I totally agree there. But I think she has a lot. She's an intelligent...
I know we're all in favour of jaw, but when you join the Army, it's war as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's very, very strong, Joe. She might not be the 5'2", but a very, very strong and very... How would you put it? She's whatever she sets out to do, she'll do. Do you know that kind of way? She's very...
Now, the 5'2", I presume... Well, of course it does, applies to both sexes. But your point is, there is no height restriction anymore in the Gardaí.
That's right, yeah.
But they don't have to carry... Well, no, they wear the stab vests, but they don't carry a backpack.
they may not carry a backpack, but they do come against people who are probably three times their size.
Well, Monica, was Shannon Victory in the process, in this endurance test or whatever she went through, was she asked to put on the gear and run 100 yards?
They wouldn't even allow her to do the fitness test. They wouldn't allow her to do the run or the press-ups or sit-ups. After spending nearly 2 hours there, like.
Stay there for a sec, if you would, Monica. But you think your daughter is a loss to the army?
Well, I think she's a lot to bring to it, you know. I mean, she might not be the 6-footer. And I believe they're looking for the perfect soldier. But I still think she has a lot to bring to the army, yes.
Okay. And you could argue as well that having... And it's her height, she's not a small person, but having a person that's smaller than others in an army can actually help in terms
of... Well, I was told that they do actually look for smaller people in the Air Corps.
Yeah, because...
Because they like the smaller person to be the pilots, apparently, they're...
Because weight and size is a big issue in aircraft.
Yeah.
Stay there for a second, Monica, because Kenny is on from the next county to you there, and she's on about her daughter as well, but it's a different form of discrimination, she believes. It's about teacher training. Inez, Kenny, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you doing?
Good. What is your situation?
Well, our situation was really my daughter started first year in St. Patrick's College in Drumcondra teacher training. And we got a student handbook, like when she accepted her place and that. And there was a schedule of charges and deposits were listed in that handbook. But it turned out just before Christmas, she told me that she was going to the Gaeltacht, which I expected because I had a son who went there 3 years ago.
You have to go.
And it's compulsory part of the course.
Yeah.
And I mean, understand that they want to improve Irish and become more fluent in that. But what I wasn't expecting was a €750 charge.
Oh, now, heretofore, that's been part of the fees, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And it was because my son, when he went like 3 years ago, that was included. And obviously the registration fee was much less then as well. I mean, this year our registration fee is 2,500. And by the time she'll be finished, like, it's going to be 3,000.
And you're saying there's a double whammy built in for teacher training colleges?
Well, that's it. And not only that, but she told me that they have to go again in third year. Now, 750 to me is a lot of money on top of, you know, registration fee, accommodation 3,500, living expenses and travel at a very conservative estimate of €120, and plus being, you know, children students who are working, you know, they can't work these couple of weeks as well, so there's another loss of income there.
So this course is compulsory.
It is compulsory.
On top of the fees, which everyone pays, say these were included. The fees have gone up quite dramatically.
Absolutely, very significant.
They're going up again, we've been told, regardless of what happens. They're going up again to €3,000.
That's correct.
But you're saying that the 750 was previously incorporated into the fee, and now, in truth, the fees for teacher training went up much more than any other college.
Absolutely. Okay. And that was unexpected because it isn't in their schedule of charges and deposits. Like, I mean, you know that you were sent out. I mean, this is kind of a hidden charge.
By the way, the ordinary family today, the maybe with two people working, to get 750 cash, which is what you need for this, you have to wear in about £1,500
before
tax.
Terms.
What happens if you can't pony up the money?
Well, the thing is, I paid it very late. She told me that before December, and we paid 200 deposit at that stage, and then the balance was due, 550 was due by February, but I actually didn't pay it till last week, because one thing or another, my husband is a plumber, there's no work in that line, so that's one of our incomes has gone already since we started out on this college kind of trail. And so, you know, it was just last minute really, then we paid it. She got a phone call last week to say that she had to send in that money by postal order and that had to reach the college by Wednesday.
But if I don't pay it, what happens? If I can't pay it?
Well, you see, they don't consider that if you can't pay it.
If I get a grant, is it covered in the grant?
I presume so. I presume it is. Medical card.
So therefore, it is part of the fee.
It's
not regarded as an optional extra.
Oh, it's not
this
optional.
Trip to Connemara.
No,
whatever.
No. She would not get her degree if she didn't go.
Okay. Do you think, like, just with Monica Victory and her daughter and the height restriction is a height restriction in the end, you're two Amazonian women campaigning for your daughters, but do you think, Inez, you're going to get anywhere with it? It's just...
Well, I mean, it's just that I wanted to highlight it.
Just another hammer to families.
Yeah, just what other people, maybe other listeners thought, or if are there a lot of hidden kind of extras like this? I mean, there is a schedule of charges and it's all listed out, student contribution, you know, record. There's a materials charge, B.Ed. first year, €175. Now, we knew that they were all happening. But it isn't listed in their schedule of charges either.
Yeah, the other thing as well is Monica, on the one hand, in the army, she's speaking on behalf of her daughter, Shannon.
Yes.
You're speaking on behalf of your daughter.
Well, really, it probably be on behalf of ourselves because we're the ones who...
Okay, you're the ones who shell out the money.
We're the ones who have to hand... I mean, 750, Joe, I would have loved to go for a few days.
I know.
I'm on an Easter break now. Yeah. One of the few perks of the job I'm actually teaching as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of days, myself and my husband would have been very enjoyable. But instead, we have to fund our daughter in the Gaeltacht, and which, you know, we're very happy that she's got into the course, and I know on the scale of things, it's not a huge problem, but it is a huge problem when you come to pay for it.
But you'd wonder why the students themselves don't take up the issue.
Well, I think they have.
Yeah.
The student union had taken up the issue as well, but they didn't get any further with it. But you know as well, I mean, the government, they don't listen a lot of the time to the students either, because, you know, and I suppose then again, the students are not paying it themselves. It's not really hurting them. It's, once again, it's hurting the parents who are, you know, cash strapped, basically. And it's just another, you know, it's just another hidden charge. And I think it's discriminatory.
And Monica, in your case with Shannon Victory, what is she going to do?
Well, obviously, Joe, she's thinking of computer science at the moment. So, I mean, she's going to have to apply for... She'll be doing her Leaving Cert this year and she'll have to apply for various
colleges. By the way, could she get into the British Army, as she investigated?
We haven't investigated that, no.
I mean, you know, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
She could get into the Guard,
I mean,
but again...
She could get into the Guards, yeah, no problem. She'd get into the Guards, but she doesn't want to get into the Guards. I assume it's following in her grandfather's footsteps.
So.
She wants to go into the Army. She wants to serve her country. And because of the few centimetres out, she's not allowed to do that. And I think she'd have a lot to bring to them too, you know?
Okay.
And Joe, just one other point before, for the people living in the Gaeltacht, students who actually live in the Gaeltacht.
Oh yeah, so they have to go
They have to attend as well.
So they have to move two houses down?
Yeah, two houses down the road, pay €750 for attending the Gaeltacht.
And what do you do, by the way, for those 2 weeks?
Well, I presume, I mean, the idea is that they're going there to become fluent in Irish.
Of course, and that's compulsory.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's all fine. And I'm sure they have a pretty good time as well, and that's all part of it, isn't
but
it?
But your point is nothing has changed except the fee, this new additional fee.
Yes, which I didn't have to pay.
Okay. Points well made. That's Inez Kenny and Monica Victory both campaigning for their daughters. And Eric, the Army.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Hi, program. Go ahead.
Well, Joe, basically I would say to you that the Army make rules and regulations, right, and they don't break them for anybody. And if there is a height restriction in relation to entry, that's it. There was a time years ago where, you know, if you had a tradition in the Army...
Yeah, but the point that the height restriction that the Army have imposed is, they say, because of a weight restriction, and in other words, the weight you have to carry. But does your height determine what weight you can carry?
Well, what I would say to you is, Joe, you know, that I know the boot camp training in the Army is absolutely the toughest, as tough as you would ever see anywhere, right? And you have to be able to hike 15, 20 miles up mountains with a 50-pound pack in your back, right? And then they bring you in a helicopter.
Yeah, okay, we know all that. We've seen it. But what's height got to do with that?
Well, height, I would say, has to do with the ability to be able to be able to perform your function as an army soldier or an officer or whatever.
I come back to my point again. There are small weightlifters.
I know that, Joe.
They're world, they're world champion small weightlifters who are who are below 5 foot two. Isn't that Monica Victory's point?
Yeah, but you see, Joe, what I would say to you is, like, today, right, you won't see any small people in any army. I'm sorry to say it to you. You won't. Not just the Irish army, any army. And I've travelled in a lot of places. And I've been to the Middle East and so forth. You won't see anybody 5 foot going around in an army uniform. With the greatest of respects.
Did you ever try and get into the army?
I did back 45 years ago. I'm 6 foot. Had my leaving cert. I had an uncle, a colonel in the army at the time. I had another uncle in Kildare, a lieutenant colonel. I went through all the medicals and fitness tests, the whole lot. And they turned me down because I couldn't speak fluent enough Irish. So I accepted that and I just moved on. And that's what that girl has to do. I have a son in the army, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not defending him, right? But it's one of the best run organisations.
Oh, I know that.
In the country. The reasons being, Joe, is they set exceptionally high standards.
Yeah, but
exceptionally high standards.
Yeah, but has a high standard. This is Monica's point. Has a high standard got to do with height?
Joe, if there's 300 vacancies in the Irish Army,
yeah, that's
and there's 10,000 applications.
Well, that's now you're into a different argument.
But no, it's all part of the argument, Joe. Sorry now. You're going to pick the cream, not on personality, but on their ability to perform, having fulfilled their training and progress.
I know.
And do the job that they are expected to do.
And Shannon Victory's point is, I may be smaller than slightly smaller than the current regulation. But that doesn't mean I won't be the cream of the crop.
Yeah, but you see, if you make an exception for one person, you're going to have to make a lot of exceptions. And I would say that's the catch-22 situation that they're in. And that's no aspersion.
Well, then why don't they say... But then the logic of your argument, Eric, is because there's so many applications, just increase the height restriction to 6 foot.
No, it hasn't, Joe. It's
and then that will reduce...
It is the ability and the education and the qualifications of these people applying.
So what has height got to do with it? You're saying 6 foot, no, it's nothing to do with it.
But
so
they're entitled to put in a height restriction, Joe.
But for why? That's Shannon's question. For why?
I can't tell you the reasons why. They say
the reason why is that you won't be able to carry the load physically.
Well, they obviously can prove that, so if that's the case. I mean, the Army is not an organisation that will come out and make absolutely stupendous statements unless they have put it to the test with the greatest of respects. And I'd also say to you, Joe... If you read the Sunday paper on Sunday, this girl in boot camp, two-star private at the moment, who had enough of points to go to Dublin City University to study law, has opted to go in as an NCO into the Irish Army. That's what I'm saying to you, that the quality of young people today, because they haven't the choice that they had years ago in terms of employment, are going into it as a career.
And not only that, Joe, let's finish.
They do occasionally leave openings in the Army for potential officers' courses for non-commissioned officers to progress into officer rank.
But you said the quality, and Shannon's argument is, I'm not talking quality, I'm talking my height.
Yeah.
That's her argument.
What I'm saying to you is, I mean, why recruit 300 people at 5 foot when you can get people at 5 foot 10, 6 foot, 6 foot two, 6 foot three? You know, I mean, I've been to a lot of passing out parades for the boys going overseas and that. I've yet to see anybody have the stature of 5 foot at any passing out parade.
Yeah, because you can't get in if you're under 5 foot two. You can't even get to the interview process.
Well, fair dues to them. They're right.
Okay.
I mean, actually, you can't argue with that. I mean, you take...
Shannon is, her mother is, her family are. She comes from a military family, so to speak. They are arguing with it.
Can I tell you something, okay. Joe? I had a background in the military as well. No favours, Joe. And they're dead bloody right. Just because you have a history in the army, why should they bend the rules?
No, she's not saying that. She's not asked to bend the rules. She's saying
there was a time years ago when they would bend the rules if you had a history or a family connection in the army. Can I say it to you? That day is gone, and thanks be to God, it's gone. And as a result, we have one of the best army forces that have been recognised overseas in Lebanon, Eritrea, Chad, Liberia, East Timor. The commanding general, the Australian commanding general, who was over the UN forces in East Timor, said that the Irish Ranger group that were in East Timor were the best specialised trained forces he had ever come across in the world.
Hear.
Right? And the work they do out there in the Middle East and all this, you know, I mean, I don't need to tell you, Joe.
Okay, no bother, yeah.
But they're entitled to set the high standards, right? And that, and as a result, you hear no scandal. If you break the rules in the army, there's no favours. It's dealt with internally. You do the crime.
Yeah,
you know,
but what's crime got to do with height?
I'm not saying crime. I'm saying it's a well-run organisation, right? It's a
professionally
run organisation. If you break the rules in the army, you pay the price.
Well, people under 5'2" can run good organisations.
Joe, you have to know the ins and outs of everything to be able to run an organisation. You can't learn
Height's nothing to do with it.
Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. I am making the point.
I'll come back to you in a sec, Eric. Stay there. Listen to 5155. We'll listen to, but just, I'm worried about you being. Where are you? I hope you're parked. You are parked up. Matt stay safely there. Matt in Cork. Matt.
Hello.
You say you have a story where the rules were changed about height. Go ahead.
A very similar situation. In the 1970s, when our telephone system was chronic and we were operating manual systems, the Civil Service Commission used to recruit telephonists. Mm. And they had a rule that you had to have a minimum height. Now, I don't recall what it was. I was a shop steward at the time, and I came across a case where a young girl, 18 years of age, had been taken in a temporary capacity, pending clearance by a medical doctor. She had been in for almost 3 months, almost due to pass out, as they might say, or to be tested for proficiency and all of that. Her medical test showed that she was half an inch too small.
Mm-hmm.
The end result was, you cannot be made permanent. Your job has to cease. I tried through the trade union at the time to do something about it. The Civil Service Commission doesn't listen to any representations of that nature because they were an independent body.
Canvassing will disqualify, yeah.
Absolutely. So I did two things. I was known to the late Dr. Cyril Daly, who wrote quite interesting, sometimes controversial articles in the Irish Medical Times. He wrote the story about it and how ridiculous it was from a medical point of view. But the then Minister for Finance, Richie Ryan, who also had responsibility for the public service and the Civil Service Commission, was coming to the town that I lived in. I made contact to one of his party advocates. Would it be possible for him to meet this girl accompanied by me? And he says, definitely. Be at the end of the bottom of the hall when I finished my speech and I'll be happy to meet thee. He did. And he smiled, he laughed at the idea, he put his arm around the girl and says, they possibly tell me that I'm too small to be Minister of Finance. Your job, calling her by her name, is secure. I'll talk to Conor Cruise O'Brien and whoever else is involved here. Within 2 months, that rule was quietly changed, just deleted from the requirement.
And why was it there in the first place?
Traditionally,
the phones were up high or something, really, and there's no chairs.
Traditionally, there would have been a logic for it. There weren't swivel chairs that could go up and down in those days. Number one. Number two, The old switchboards were quite high. As you stood up to them, they possibly were 5 foot high.
Okay.
And you would have to reach up to put the plug into the line of numbers along the top. So those type of switchboards had become obsolete. Swivel chairs in Ireland had become a little bit modern, but the civil service rules didn't change with the times. It took a case in point to be challenged through the media to create publicity and politically.
Yes,
it happened and she turned out
to be ridiculous. Ridiculous. What do you think of the height restriction now in the army?
It's the exact same sort of idea. I know people in the army who are 6 foot and more, strong, strapping men. They get some of the exercises more difficult to carry out than these small, strapping young people who are full of energy because they're not carrying weight and they're not carrying bulk and size and all of that. I think the arguments that your previous speaker there, who seemed very well informed about the army, I have to say, some of it is quite nonsensical in this day and age.
Why?
Height doesn't determine how much you can carry on your back. Strength doesn't come from height alone. It comes from a lot of other things in your physical makeup, your energy level.
Are you minded by that argument, Eric?
CJ, what I would say to the man is, you know, that every member of the armed forces annually has to do a physical test.
No, his point is strength doesn't come from height. We know all this.
Strength well, we know that. I mean,
strength doesn't
you know,
come. So why is there a height restriction?
Sorry?
So why is there a height restriction?
Well, Joe, I can't give you a specific reason.
The army say it's to do with strength. You're agreeing with me, and sorry, the argument made by Matt there, that strength doesn't come from height. The argument, the army say strength does come from height, and that's why we won't allow anyone under 5 foot 2 in.
No, I don't think they're saying that, Joe.
They are. I can read it out to you. Hang on, I'll read it out to you. The reasons for the height restriction are based on the ability of an individual to safely carry, C-A-R-R-Y, carry the personal load carrying equipment and individual body armour that is required on the modern soldier. Carry. Carry means weight. Carry means, that's what it means in that context. And
yeah.
that is. But you now agree that strength doesn't come from height.
Oh, sure. I mean, I watched the weight, the world Weight Watchers, you know, these guys can lift the weights. I don't dispute that at all. The point I'm making is, basically, that the army are entitled to set their own standards, which they feel is in their best interests. That's all I'm saying. So that they have a highly efficient, which they have, force that does this country proud.
So if the army,
that's all I'm saying.
If the army said tomorrow we're only taking in women,
good luck to them.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Catherine's in Castlebar. Catherine, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
51551 is our text number. You say a lot of third level colleges have hidden costs like the Gaeltacht for teacher training, even though it was previously incorporated in the fee. It's now £750 extra. Go ahead. Your daughter is in nursing.
When she was in nursing, like a lot of them would have to do placements in other parts of the country. So you'd have to keep their accommodation where they were in their college naturally. And you'd end up, even though they'd get an allowance, you'd end up having to pay for their accommodation in another place. So you could have somebody in Dublin.
But most students away from the families, their students who part-time work, pay for accommodation. So that's common to a lot of students. But
This accommodation on the double, so you'd be paying both. You'd have to keep their place in their college, and then you'd have, because I know if that would have been in my situation, and then you would pay for where they're on placement. It could have been for a month. It could be.
That applies to other students who go on placement. Be some teachers have to travel outside.
Of course it does. Yeah.
Travel social
and,
workers, whatever.
Especially though, you know, I know in some of the paramedic courses as well, they don't get any extra, and you know they would have to pay for.
Okay, Helen's daughter is in teacher training. Catherine is saying it happens to all of us. Sucked a bitter lemon, Helen.
Well,
that's life.
It does happen because my daughter now is on a grant at the moment in college, but she has to pay her way for the Gaeltacht. She has to pay €750. It is not included in her grant. The grant literally pays for her fee for the year.
Okay.
And she gets a small allowance.
So it does not cover the Gaeltacht fee?
It does not cover the Gaeltacht. And Jo, she has been out on teacher training practice for the last 3-4 weeks in schools.
Mm-hmm.
And she has had to provide all her own materials, supplies, paper, etc., for all the lessons she had to teach.
And travel or whatever, I presume.
And travel to get there and back. The grant literally pays for her fees. And in Merino, they don't have a direct correspondence with Susie. So because Susie was so delayed this year and her grant was late coming through, I had to get a credit union loan to pay for half of her fees to start her in mm-hmm. September because her fee hadn't come through.
And how did you manage to pay the 750 for the gate? The Gaeltacht's on now, isn't it?
The Gaeltacht is on now.
You have to go now.
She went last weekend, and she had to go for 2 weeks. You have no choice. So the €750, when I got the grant money from Susie, I paid the college, and the college refunded me the money. I paid off that loan, and I got another one for the credit union for the Gaeltacht.
It's expensive, teacher training.
And that was just finishing 3 weeks of teacher training where we were out every week in Blanchardstown in Deals buying up all the paper and equipment.
And do you think, Helen, do you raise it, do you think politicians or anyone else, I just hear government ministers over the last few days saying, you know, the water charges will be what they will be and we haven't decided yet and they will be what they will be and when we decide...
Well,
this is unsaid, of course.
Joe, the water charge is going to be the least of my worries because I have this now for 4 years.
No, but I'm saying, do they understand all the different things that have already hit people?
They don't. This Gaeltacht fee originally, when the fees were paid for, was included, as was the arts and crafts and photocopying and duplicating that they paid for the first year. That's no longer true. That's all been gone. You literally pay your fees. That's it. Anything else after that, travel, food, anything, all comes out of your own pocket. And there's no jobs for them out there anymore. And there's no jobs. There's no an evening here or a weekend there.
And the starting salaries for primary school teachers have been reduced dramatically.
Reduced drastically. Drastically. Yeah. Like, she's not going into it for the money. This is what she has always, always wanted to do. She never changed her mind.
Okay.
That's the point I'm trying to make as well. That it's not just it is happening across the board. You know, it's not every course now, but quite a lot of the other courses. For example, you know, particularly in the medical, nursing, paramedic, you know, where they could be in college in Dublin and they might have to go down to Cork, West, you know, anywhere, and you're going to have to pay for their accommodation there as well. Paying the accommodation on the double. You know what I mean?
But it's a big, big burden now on people, third level. It really is. And even though the government still say it's a registration fee, it's still free education, believe it or not. OK, Catherine in Castlebar, Helen in Dublin, 51551 continues after this break.